Now again tonight, it's good to see all that have come, and we trust that the Lord might bless his word again another time. I want to read in the book of Exodus, and chapter 11. And verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Chapter 10, please. Chapter 10 and verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Chapter 12, please. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the 2 side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Now, could you this time turn to chapter 13? Chapter 13 and to the end of the chapter, verse 21. Chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Finally, just turn over to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now that's all we want to read with the Lord's blessing. I want to draw some thoughts this evening around that great statement in chapter 11, where God says, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. I hope that by the end of our meeting, you'll remember that great statement. That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. A difference. Sometimes People like to be different. Sometimes people don't like to be different. But there's one thing sure tonight, if you're going to be in heaven, you've got to be different. And that difference, the Lord alone can make. Now that was a mighty statement that was made. That statement that God carried through in various ways in relation to the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And I just want to stress tonight that if you're in this meeting and as yet you're not a Christian, you're not saved, that tonight there might be a difference made in your life. Because there has to be a difference. There has to be a change, a conversion, a salvation, a new birth to be saved before you can be in heaven. Now I know the Bible tells us in the New Testament in another sense, for there is no difference. That's in relation to the fact of sin. That's in relation to the fact of all of us as to our condition before a holy God. There is no difference. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A difference. Now we may not have time just to develop these fully, but I want to try and just leave them with you. The difference that God made on that momentous occasion. And I feel there was a fourfold difference. And the first great difference was that we read in chapter 9 or chapter 10. In that great plague of darkness that came down upon Egypt. There were 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt in judgment. The first plague was the turning of the waters into blood. And the last plague was the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And that those who would be delivered from it must have the blood of the Lamb upon the doorposts and on the lintel. But the ninth plague is the plague of darkness. There was a darkness came down on Egypt. A darkness that came right into the houses and into the homes of the Egyptians. And yet at the very same time, in the homes of the Israelites, they had light in their dwellings. What a difference. What a contrast. The Egyptians were in solid darkness. In fact, for 3 whole days, darkness. Not only darkness, but the Bible says a darkness that could be felt. That was an amazing darkness. A darkness that not only could be felt, but a darkness that the children, that the Egyptians could not even move. And could not even move out of their houses. It was such a darkness. And yet, you know, if you went down the street and down that road and you went into the houses of the Israelites, there was light. There was light all around. What a difference. You know, I sometimes think about it like this. that the Egyptians had a darkness upon them that could not be lit up. And the Israelites had a light that could not be put out. And for 3 days. When was there ever darkness like that? Well, I believe there was darkness like that when the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross. If there was 3 days of darkness in Egypt, there was 3 hours of darkness upon the cross. A darkness over all the land. And it wasn't an eclipse of the sun. They tell us, not that I know, but just what I've heard, that the longest period of time that an eclipse can last is about 7 minutes. Now, I may be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I have read that, heard that. The darkness at the cross was not an eclipse of the sun. It was a darkness for 3 hours. Now, if you were to think of that darkness in Egypt on the Egyptians for 3 days, that darkness really meant that that people, those Egyptians, were abandoned under the judgment of God. Could I say this tonight? That the 3 hours of darkness when the Lord Jesus was upon the cross, he was abandoned. He was abandoned by God on the cross under the judgment for 3 hours. My God, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, we sometimes say that he was forsaken on the cross, that you and I may not be forsaken for all eternity. Because I'll tell you this tonight. Hell is a place that God has forsaken. It's a place of forsakenness, of abandonment. A place where God's smile is never seen. A place where God's voice is never heard. A place where God's breath is never felt. Abandoned. You would not want to be abandoned by God forever. He was on the cross. And he was alone, that you might never be alone. What a difference. The Israelites had light in their dwellings. You know, that is really the difference as to a person who is saved and a person who is not saved. You see, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. My, the reality is this tonight, that those who are in their sins are in darkness. But you know, the hymn writer said, no longer in darkness I'm walking. The light is now shining on me. And now unto others I'm telling how he saved a poor sinner like me. Friend, tonight you don't have to live in darkness, you know. And you don't have to die in the dark. And you don't have to be in the darkness for all eternity. There's the light of the gospel. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And the reality is this tonight. The one who walked this earth was the one who said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. What about you tonight? Are you still in darkness? Are you still in your sins? Or have you been brought into the light of the gospel? Into the liberty of the gospel, into the radiance of the wonder of a Christ who died and rose and lives to never die. What a difference. That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. But you know, the greatest difference of all was this. When it came to that 10th plague, and this was going to be the finality, this was it. Pharaoh, you know, the plagues had been sent and he had said to let them go, and then he changed his mind and another plague, and he said, let them go, and he changed his mind. This is it. Change your mind or no mind. This is it. You're not going to fudge this one. There's going to be death all over Egypt. What a night. There's going to be such a cry go up in Egypt that the like of it has never been heard or known before. But what about these Israelites? What about these Hebrew slaves? My God said to Moses, take a lamb. Take it and keep it and kill it and catch the blood in a basin. From the 10th to the 14th day, and on the evening of the 14th day, my, that slain lamb, take the blood and strike it on the doorposts and on the lintels. And I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt this night. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a difference. What was the difference? The Israelites had blood on the door. The Egyptians didn't. They didn't. And because the Israelites had blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, the blood of that lamb that speaks so vividly of God's lamb, the Lord Jesus, the true Passover lamb, my, that blood on the door, they're going to be safe. And the destroyer will not come in onto your houses to smite you. The Egyptians had no blood on the door. Listen tonight. Have you got the blood on the door? Well, you see, think of it like this. Those Israelites, those slaves, because they had the blood on the door outside, those people that were inside that house, they believed God. They believed God that judgment was coming. So they put the blood on the door. That's simple, isn't it? Do you believe God that judgment is coming? Do you believe God tonight that Paul says that in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, that the Bible actually tells us that there is judgment ahead. And for those Israelites who took that lamb and put that blood on the door was an evident token that those inside believed God. I wonder if we could maybe pay a visit to one of those homes, or maybe two of them, on that night. And go inside into one of those houses. And there, you know, there's a man, his wife, his family, and he's sitting calmly, and they're eating of the roast lamb. And you say to him, how do you feel? Do you think you'll be safe enough in here? Do you think that you'll be all right? And he said to you, did you not notice before you came in? Did you not see the blood on the door, man? Sure I'll be all right. You may be going to another house. And maybe there's a man pacing up and down a bit. And he maybe just doesn't look as calm and contented as the other man. And, you know, maybe you say to him, you know, well, is things all right with you? Oh, yes, yeah. But maybe you know, it's a big thing, this. Do you know something? He maybe just doesn't sound or feel as sure as the other man. But do you know something? He's every bit as safe as the other man because the blood's on the door. Do you know why? For it doesn't depend on his feelings. And it doesn't depend whether he's a little bit anxious or a little bit concerned, unlike the other man who is so relaxed and so confident. No, the fact is this, it doesn't matter. The blood's on the door. That's it. You see, there's a lot of people going to heaven tonight. But you know, everybody's not the same. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, there's maybe some people, you know, and maybe at times, you know, there's doubts and fears that grip them. But it doesn't matter. The blood's on the door. That's the whole point. They believe God. Not only about coming judgment, the reality of judgment, but that blood on the door also tells me that the people inside that house they believe God that the blood is enough. Nothing else is needed. You know, they could have covered that door with jewels and gold and silver and precious metals, and it wouldn't have meant that. There was only one thing that the eye of God was looking for. He says, when I see the blood. Oh, you could have the door covered with expensive things and silver and gold, but that's not it. Peter says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want to ask you tonight, is the blood on the door? Do you believe God? May you believe God tonight, the reality that God has said in his word, that there is judgment coming, that God has said in the word, in his word, that there is a remedy in the blood of Christ. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Napoleon the Great, who sought to conquer the world and nearly did it. One day he had all his generals and leading army men around a big table. And on this table was spread a map of the world. And in the map, he had a little piece colored in with red ink. And he took his pointer, his stick, his pointer, and he put it right onto that red spot. And he said, gentlemen, he said, but for that red spot, I'd conquer the world. And that red spot was England. There's a place tonight. There's a place called Calvary, where the blood of Christ was shed. And the devil would say, but for that red spot, I'd conquer the world. He has no answer to the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. They had light in their dwellings. They had blood on the door. They had something else. You know, when they went out of Egypt that night, what a night it was. Pharaoh, in the middle of the night, he rose, let them go. Get them out of here. There was death in the palace, the firstborn. There was death right down to the prison, the firstborn. There was death right down to the feeding troughs where the cattle were. Get them out of here. And so they did. They went out harnessed. Out of Egypt. That doesn't mean a harness like a horse, you know. It means they went out by companies. Out of Egypt. What a night. And as they moved, all, maybe 3 million people, as they moved, you see, the the lamb had been slain, the blood had been shed, sprinkled. My, the Lord had come and he had passed over, and all who had the blood outside were safe inside. You see, he says, I'll pass over you. It really means I'll skip over the door. I'll leap over the door. And there they move. You know, the Bible says that not even a dog moved its tongue. That's something. There wasn't even a dog barked. There they were. But what now? A cloud appeared. A cloud. A pillar of cloud. A cloud to guide them. What a difference. The Egyptians had no cloud. The Israelites had a cloud to guide them. Forgive me in my illustration, but I think you know that cloud can be a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Lamb was slain. Christ died and rose. My, he went back to heaven. The Holy Spirit came. Listen tonight. The person who comes to appreciate the Lord Jesus, that he died for me upon the cross, we're born of the Spirit. The cloud. Born of the Spirit with life from above, we sing into God's family divine. Sanctified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. The cloud came. There's a lot you could say about it. Do you know, every time they looked up, God's with us. There's the cloud. There's the pledge. His presence. He's with us. And when they got away out into the wilderness, and the sun was beaming down, you know, the Bible said he spread a cloud for a covering. When they were in Egypt, my, when they were under the taskmasters of Egypt, as they made the bricks with straw, and then they had to make them without the straw, and the sun was beating down upon them, and there was no shade from the sun. But isn't God good tonight? When they were away out in the wilderness, and the sun was beating down, he spread a cloud. He shaded them from the burning heat of the sun. And where there were no natural clouds, that great cloud that had appeared, the Shekinah, he spread a cloud. What is the big difference tonight? That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What's the difference tonight between those who are saved and not saved? The Holy Spirit. Those who are saved are born of the Spirit of God. If a man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. There's one more difference. The Israelites had a song. They had a song to sing. The Egyptians had no song. Isn't that amazing? You know, if you had seen them down in Egypt, the tears, the terrors, the taskmasters of Egypt, they sighed, they cried, they groaned, they longed to be free. But amazing, they're singing now. The sighing has turned to singing. And God brought them through the Red Sea as he rolled the waters back, and they went forward on dry ground. And when they were all over, and you remember, he said to them, he said, the Egyptians that ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Bible says that the Egyptians, they lay dead upon the seashore. And they began to sing a song. A song of redemption. I think it's the first song in our Bible. And you know, the last song in our Bible, it's a song of redemption as well. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. What a difference. That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. I come to a close. In the meeting tonight, and there's never been that change, there's never been that difference. There has to be a difference. You know, in your sins, you cannot be in heaven. You know, the fact is this, like, if you could get into heaven in your sins, you'd be absolutely miserable. It's like going down to the shore, down to the sea, and getting a fish out of the water and saying, boy, that poor little fish, it's so cold and it's freezing. I'll bring it home. I'll wrap it in cotton wool and set it beside the fire. Poor wee thing. What would happen to it? It would die. Because it's not suited for that environment. And if you're not saved, you're not suited for heaven. There's got to be a difference. And it's only the Lord can make the difference. May God grant that. Maybe even to one person tonight. One soul. That this might be the night when there be a difference. Born again. Saved tonight. Redeemed tonight. Fitted and suited for heaven, shall we pray?